Take your Bibles, if you will, to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. While you're turning there, let me mention, if you have not yet got a gift bag from someone in our church going out, we've been having InReach where we've gone to like 425 different homes of our members, and we have a bag full of candy bars and flavored popcorn and all sorts of other goodies and snacks. And then a note from the pastor. And if you have not gotten one of those, please give us your name and address and turn that into any of the ushers. And this week we will make sure that you get one. Because either we don't have your name or address, or else we have the wrong address. Yesterday my wife and I went to a member's home on the other side of Scappoose. And an hour and 10 minutes to get there, only to find out that she moved. Probably a lot closer to our church. But anyway, we got to say hi to the present people who live there. And then since we were that far out, we drove around Salvi Island, which we hadn't been in 25 years or more. And so we had a good time just visiting together. And 5 hours later, we came back home. And so, but we might have your wrong address, but we do want to make sure that if you call this your home, we want to make sure that you get that gift bag. By the way, if you're just a visitor today and you will give us your address, we would like to be sure that you get one of those as well, unless your last name's Bailey and you live in Southern California. Paul is a wonderful friend, Paul and Kathy Bailey, and they are here. Raise your hands, if you will. Good friends of the Mutchler family, and we appreciate them. Camille is up there on the third floor with the junior high people as they're preaching. In fact, Ben is going to go up there and preach to them during this hour, and so we're looking forward to them hearing him. We're continuing our study verse by verse through the book of Romans. And last week, Brother TJ did an awesome job, and he covered verses 10, 11, 12, well, let's see, 11, 12, and 13, just three verses, but three powerful verses. Today we're looking at verses 14 through the end of the chapter, verse 23. And he ended last week with talking about what verse 13 says, about us yielding our members or our bodies as instruments of righteousness, but not to yield them as members of unrighteousness. So today we're looking at choose to serve. Choose to serve. All of us will have to choose a master. We'll either serve the master of sin, or we'll serve the master of righteousness, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so we're going to look at that passage, and I trust it to be a great blessing and help to every one of us here. Now, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, maybe you've gone to church and you believe in Jesus, but you don't know that heaven's your eternal home, we hope that before this service is over, you will decide to invite Jesus Christ into your life and trust Him and Him alone to get you to heaven. For the rest of us as believers, we're hoping the Word of God would speak to our hearts and give us some understanding clearly on our proper theology, as well as speak to our hearts about the present needs of our life, our family, our loved ones, our future. The Word of God has a way to speak what God wants us to hear, if we have ears to hear. And I hope that's the case. Well, we're going to start by reading this passage of Scripture. I'm going to ask, if you will, to be able to stand with me. If you're not able to do so, that's fine. No problem there. But we're going to be starting in verse 14, and we're going to read down through verse 23. I'll read, and you just follow along. If you don't have your Bible with you, it will be up on the screen as well. The Bible says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were freed from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. After that, you can be seated, and we'll get right into the message. Heavenly Father, we want you to know, first of all, we love you. And that's why we've assembled, not to hear the words of a man, but to have you speak to our hearts. And Lord Jesus, as we've assembled, we want to hear what our Savior has to say to us. So help us to listen. And Holy Spirit, I know that you'll speak to our hearts, thou who indwellest every believer, whose job is to conform us into the image of our Savior. I pray that every message we hear will do that. Now, Father, we thank you for your word. We realize it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And I pray, dear Father, that we will hear it not for information, but for transformation. We love you, Lord. Bless us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we're looking at the passage and we're saying, choose to serve. Choose to serve. In this passage, we're going to find we're either going to serve sin or we're going to serve the Savior. And so we've got to decide, who are we going to serve? Now the good news is, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to find in this passage that you've already made a decision. And we're going to see that that's good news for a believer. We start first of all with verse 14, and it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Now I love that. As a Bible believer, I love the words in Scripture that have shall in there. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love that word. It doesn't mean maybe, might be, hope to be. It means you will be saved if you ask Jesus to save you. I love those promises just like that. Well, here in this passage, the Apostle Paul is writing the Christians at Rome, and he's saying, sin shall not have dominion over you. And the reason is because we've changed masters. We were once the servant of sin and the devil himself, but we have changed masters. Though we still have to deal with sin, it shall not have dominion over us. It will never be our owner again. It will never be our boss again. It will never be our master again. Even when we find ourselves given into it, he doesn't take the position of our master, who is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, to better understand this, I sought the advice of a theologian from days gone by. His name is John Gill. John Gill was the pastor of the Metropolitan Baptist Tabernacle in London, England. And he was the pastor there for 60 years. Right after him, there was a young man who took the pastorate, and his name was Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who became very worldwide famous even to this day. I've been in that church. I've stood on the platform. I've stood behind the pulpit. And I've stood behind the pulpit that Charles Haddon Spurgeon had preached at for 40 years. By the way, though he was pastor for 40 years, he had the shortest pastorate of any of the pastors since that church has existed. Almost every one of them pastored 55 to 60 years. But don't worry, I'm not trying to beat their record, so that's okay. I just let you know. Here's what he says about this phrase, for sin shall not have dominion over. I think it's important to understand from a thorough theologian who's totally biblical. Here's what he says. It has dominion over God's people in the state of unregeneracy before we were believers. And after conversion, it is still in them as far as sin, and has great power oftentimes to hinder that which is good and to affect that which is evil. It entices and ensnares and brings into captivity and seems as though it would regain its dominion and reign over us, but it shall not. This is not a precept, exhortation, or an admonishment as before, though some read it as such, let not sin have dominion over you, nor does it expressly merely what ought to be, but what cannot and what shall not be. It is an absolute promise that sin shall not have the dominion over believers, and respects not acts of sin, but the principle of sin. And means not its damning power, though that is took away by its tyrannical governing power. It shall not lord over you. As the words may be rendered, as for regeneration, sin is dethroned. Christ enters as Lord and continues to be so. Saints are in another kingdom, the kingdom of Christ and grace. Could sin reign again over them? They might be lost and perish, which can never happen. Now this is a noble argument why saints should use their members as weapons of righteousness for God and against sin, since they are sure of being conquerors and are secure from the tyrannical government of sin over them. In other words, you and I may deal with sin in our lives. You and I may be hampered by sin in our lives. You and I may be afflicted by sin in our lives. And by the way, it's not maybe, it will happen as long as we're in this flesh. Amen? But sin will never have dominion over a child of God. Even if someone looks like they're enslaved by a sin, they are yielding to a master who has no control over them. Jesus Christ is in control of every believer, and Jesus Christ gives ultimate victory to everyone who's placed faith in Him. The Bible tells us many wonderful verses concerning that. I want to share just two. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 57, the Bible says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And so we praise the Lord for that. Victory has been given. And it looks like we lose battles, and by the way, we will. Remember the Apostle Paul said this one time, he said, "Ye have not yet resisted unto blood." It looks like some of those struggles with sin get pretty bloody, pretty bad. But the truth is, when it's all said and done, the victory is ours. Our Savior secured it. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from the position of victory that has been given us by Jesus Christ. Here's another verse. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place." You see, we're not under the law, but we are under grace because we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Now, if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, you're going to find that it's impossible to get away from that master called sin. You fail, you fail, you fail, you fail, you fail. Now, as a believer, we still fail and fail and fail and fail. But we have a new master, and his name's Jesus. Where one was tyrannical and one was judgmental, the other is gracious and forgiving. And that's our Savior. Amen? You know, the worst thing about the devil is not only does he tempt you to make mistakes and mess up, then he laughs at you and condemns you. But you go to Jesus and he says, I know my child. I know how tough it is. I ministered 3.5 years there. I was 33.5 years on earth. I know what you're going through. I just want you to know I'm for you. I love you. I've forgiven you. I'm on your side. Don't worry about it. You're going to be okay. Well, I messed up, Jesus. Yeah, I know. I know all about that. See, I bore all your sins on me on Calvary. So I know all about that. I'm good with that because I love you with an everlasting love. We have a master who's gracious. We have a master who's forgiving. We have a master who, by God's authority of the Word of God, we can say, sin will not have dominion over us. Sin will not have dominion over us. Could we say that all together? Sin will not have dominion over us. Could we say it one more time? Sin will not have dominion over us. Listen, the next time you're struggling with something in your life, would you just remind the devil that God said, sin will not have dominion over you. You're His child. Oh, it may trip you up, and it will. But the good news is, it can never have dominion over you. It'll plague you till Jesus comes or till we go to Him. But it will not have dominion over you. And so that's good news. And that's what Paul starts out in verse 14 telling us, because we're under grace, not under the law. One was a burdensome and condemning master. Now we have a gracious and forgiving master. In verse 15, it asks the question, shall we continue in sin? Well, verse 1 of chapter 6 says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Well, it says in verse 15 here, what then, shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Now, what it's saying is, listen, we have a whole new master. We want to serve God because He is our master, and He's such a kind and gracious and loving and forgiving master. We want to please Him with our life. We're not trying to earn His favor. We're not trying to earn His love. He loves us as much as He ever will, as He ever could, as He ever would, because He loves us with an everlasting love forever and ever and ever. You say, well, yeah, but I've had a bad week. I feel so bad about myself. You shouldn't, because you're forgiven and you got a master who's kind and gracious. Do we want to do right? Yes, we do. Do we struggle to do right? Yes, we do. Keep on the struggle. You're going to struggle all your life. But the good news is, even when you fail, He loves you with an everlasting love. And you're not under the law that would condemn you. You are under grace, which is His unmerited favor. Oh, that's so good. I love that. And then in verse 16, we find we choose who to serve. Notice what it says here in verse 16. Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, I know as a teenager, I would read that verse. And there would be days I had a really good day, and I was reading my Bible, and I had prayer time, and maybe I was serving the Lord in some capacity, and I thought, well, that's good. To whom you yield yourselves to serve, His servants you are. And I felt like, well, I'm God's servant, praise the Lord. And then there were other days where I felt like, oh, man, I just given into the dumbest stuff. I made some crazy decisions. I've not done right. And then I'd read this verse, and it says, if I've yielded myself under sin, His master you are. He is your master. And I thought, oh man, am I saved? Am I not saved? And that trips up a whole lot of Christians. Because sin is something you deal with in your life. And if you're not careful, you'll think, well, if I was a Christian, I wouldn't do that. You know, the Apostle Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptations, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That's how he felt about himself. I'm just guessing if the Apostle Paul felt that about himself, you and I sometimes feel that about ourselves, that we're not very good Christians. I know many times Christians say, Pastor, I don't feel worthy. Could I let you in on a little secret? There's a reason you don't feel worthy. It's because you're not worthy. And no one else is. We are just sinners saved by grace. Amen? Amen. Saved by His grace. But let me share this verse with you, and let's look at the context of what it's in. Let's look at the verse before it that we just talked about and the verse afterwards, and let me share just a few things with you. First of all, the Bible says, sin shall not have dominion over you in verse 14. Secondly, we're going to see in verse 17, thank God that though we were the servants of sin, ye obeyed from the heart. Notice what it says. But God be thanked that ye were, that's past tense, isn't it? Were. I'm not great in English, but I did make a B. One time. And I know that were is past tense. And that's all I can tell you about it. But ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart. Obeyed from the heart. I'm going to stop right there. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, and I love this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let me tell you what that verse does not say. Especially verse 10. For with the heart man obeyeth unto righteousness. Now let me just tell you, if righteousness is going to come on you and I's obedience, we're in trouble. Amen? We're in trouble. Every single one of us, we're in trouble. But righteousness does not come from obedience. Righteousness comes by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was the only one perfectly obedient to God the Father. His son, Jesus Christ. He's the only one. You see, you and I, by faith, get the righteousness of Christ placed on our account. And I want us to understand, when you sin, it doesn't mean that you're changing masters. Boy, I got so confused as a teenager, I thought I was switching masters every day. I'm living for Jesus. And sometimes, several times a day, I thought, oh, I'm living for Jesus. And no, I'm not. Yes, I am. I'm changing masters. No, it's not that. When you placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you changed masters forever. And you will not be under the dominion of sin. And that's a good thing. You are God's child and you are forgiven. The Bible says, then we obeyed that doctrine delivered unto us. The last part of 17 says, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. What did we believe that made the difference? Well, Jesus said it this way. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, I love that word. That means I fit in. You fit in. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. Did I believe that? Yes, as a 9-year-old boy, I believed that. Did you believe that? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose victorious from the grave? Do you believe His life, His death, His burial, His resurrection purchased your salvation? If you have believed that form of doctrine, you are His child because you place faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. So we find, first of all, that sin shall not have dominion over us. Then we've obeyed with the heart, and then we've obeyed that form of doctrine. By the way, here's a verse concerning that I love. John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29. And it's for all of those friends of yours, or perhaps you at some time, who believe that, yes, you have to have faith, but you have to work as well to earn your salvation. What did Jesus say? Well, in John chapter 6, verse 28 and 29, it says, "Then said they," the crowd, "unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." You see, the only work for us is to believe on Jesus. It's not joining the church. It's not going to church. It's not getting baptized. It's not paying your tithes. It's not singing in a choir. It's not teaching a Sunday school class. If we just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the work that God wants us to do. Believe on Him whom He has sent. When we place faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have done all the work that God wants us to do as it concerns salvation. Does God want us to go to church? Yes. Does He want us to get baptized as a believer? Yes. Does He want us to do this, that? Yes. But not to become a believer. He wants us to do that because it's called growing in grace. It's maturing in a Christian. You see, in my family, I don't know about yours, but there was a day I would say to my father, "Dad, could I go and do this?" And he'd say, "No, son." And I'd say, "Well, yeah, but Eddie's father lets him to do." And he'd say, "Well, I'm not Eddie's father. I'm yours." And the answer's no. You see, my father had what's called house rules. One of them was you had to be home before it was dark. And I used to argue about dark and when it was dark and when it was light, but he thoroughly convinced me that it's his opinion that counts, not mine. Applying the Board of Education to the seat of learning. Some of you are old enough still remember what that felt like. It makes a permanent mark on you. Not on your body, but in your soul. My father passed away at 80. When he was 79, if he'd told me to jump, I would jump and then ask how high. Even though he was getting a little frail, it was that much respect I had for him and his love for me. The Bible is telling us here that they obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine. We were set free from sin and became the servants of righteousness. Notice verse 18 again. "Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." And let me share this with you. We serve because we're free to. We've been set free to serve. We've been set free to serve. How can you sing in a choir? How can you stand up here and sing about the praises of God when you know you've had a rough week? When you know that you and your wife or you and your husband just got in an argument this week and you thought, "Man, I got so upset with her." Or you said something to your children you shouldn't have said, or you did something, or you thought something, and you think, "Man, how can I can't be in the choir today. I can't sing His praises, or I can't teach that Sunday school class. Man, the Lord knows all the thoughts that went through my head. The Lord knows what I've had to deal with and how I've failed Him so many times. How could I ever do that?" because we know that sin does not have dominion over us. We know that we have a master who's gracious and forgiving. And we know that we have a clear conscience because Jesus Christ has forgiven us of all of our sin. So I can sing his praises with no problem. I can teach with no problem because I've been freed by Jesus Christ and the salvation that he brings. So I'm freed to serve. I'm freed to serve. Listen, if you're waiting to get rid of sin in your life before you serve, good luck with that. You're going to be waiting a long, long, long time and never get to serve the Lord. But if you'll realize you're saved by his grace, you live by his grace, you'll serve by his grace. Are you worthy? No, you're not. And I'm not worthy to preach, and you're not worthy to share, and we're not worthy to be in God's house. But we serve a master who's gracious and loves us. And he accepts our sacrifice of service. I don't do it because I'm trying to earn my salvation. I do it because he set me free from the bondage of sin and its guilt. So I can serve with a clear heart. And so can you. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is telling us there. Now, he's freed to serve. In verses 19 through 22, he gives us some challenges. He says in verse 19, he's speaking after the manner of men. And what he means that by that is this. I'm going to be talking to you because I have the same passions you have. I have the same character you have. I have the same sin nature in my life as you have. Romans chapter 7, verse 14, Paul says in the next chapter, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. That's how he felt, and that's what he realized we will deal with. And listen, Christian, you better come to this understanding. As long as you're in this flesh, you got a battle, and you're going to fail. But praise God, your salvation is not contingent on your success, but on his success. And we're saved by what Christ accomplished, not what we accomplished. But what he's saying in verse 19 is this: as you have served sin, even so serve righteousness with the same intensity. The same intensity. You say, man, when I was saved, lost, man, I was gung-ho for the devil. I was gung-ho for sin. I mean, I did this and this and this and this. Sometimes I get around other men, and it's like, man, my life was messed up. I was doing everything wrong. Well, what Paul is saying is, now that you have changed masters, you serve him with the same intensity that you served your old master, sin. You ought to get excited. That's why you sing in the choir. That's why you want to usher. That's why you want to give me a job. Let me do something for Jesus, because I serve the old master with great intensity, and I want to serve the new master with even more so intensity. I want to serve this gracious, loving, forgiving master of Jesus Christ with great intensity. So let me challenge you, men. Whatever's been in your life, you serve God with a greater intensity now that you're his child. I told the 8:30 service, the Bible says there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Fellas, anything you battle with is common to man. How the devil battles with you is how the devil battles with me. Now, ladies, I don't have a clue about you. I just do not have a clue how Satan trips you up. But I do know it's a whole different bag of tricks than what he uses for a man. But the good news is that Jesus Christ has given us deliverance, and he has promised us ultimate victory. And one day we're going to stand before him in the robes of his own righteousness. And that's why we're accepted by God the Father. In verses 20 through 21, it reminds us of what fruit we bore when we served the master of sin, and that was death. And then in verse 23, he makes a summation. For the wages of sin is death. Now, here's what's interesting. A wage is what you and I deserve. You work and you get a paycheck, and the boss says, I got a gift for you. What is it? It's your paycheck. And you say, boss, that's not a gift. I earned that. And you're right. A wage is what you've earned. The wages of sin, what we deserve, is death. And that's talking about eternal separation from God in hell forever and ever and ever. But the gift of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, the gift, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I was just a 9-year-old boy, so I wasn't a deep theologian. But I knew that what I deserved was not good. Some of you have thought, boy, my parents, when they found out I did wrong, they would discipline me. But aren't you glad they didn't know everything you did wrong? As an adult, it's almost humorous to gather your older children together, and then they start telling all the things they did that you didn't know anything about. And it's too late to whip them because they stand like this. You say, really? Here's the thing. The wages of sin is death, but the gift. I knew as a 9-year-old boy I'd rather have the gift that God gives us, which is eternal life, than what I deserved. And if you're here this morning having never received that gift, the greatest gift that God ever gives is salvation, eternal life. And all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Do you believe He lived for you? Do you believe He died for you? Do you believe He was buried for you? Do you believe He rose triumphant from the tomb for you? Do you believe that while He was on the cross, He bore your sin, He paid your debt, so that you could stand before God in His righteousness, not yours? If you do, it's just that quick to be a Christian. You just have to ask Him. You just ask Him. You don't have to come before a church. You don't have to get baptized. You don't have to do this or that. You just, in the privacy of your own heart, you've got to ask Him. Jesus, would You come into my life? Would You forgive me of my sin? And Jesus, I believe in You. And I trust You and only You to get me to heaven when I die. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let's bow our heads. We're going to have a word of prayer in just a minute. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. But if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you're not sure that heaven's your eternal home, Could I just urge you to right now ask Jesus to save you? There's nothing magic about the prayer. You just have to have an open heart. But if you would pray something like this, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask You to save me. I don't deserve heaven, but You died so I could go to heaven. And Jesus, I believe in You. And I accept You as my Lord and my Savior. Please take me to heaven when I die. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'd never embarrass you. But I wonder if there's anyone here this morning that would say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. Would you just lift up your hand? I'd like to pray for you. Anyone like that at all? I prayed that prayer, Pastor. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Say, Pastor, God bless you. Thank you so much. You put your hand down. Anyone else? Oh, a few this morning. God bless you. I see that. God bless you. Several this morning. You know, it's a wonderful thing that Jesus loves us so much. We just have to receive Him into our heart. For the rest of us as believers, have you been battling and struggling and thinking you're a servant of sin? And that sin's still your master. Maybe this morning you understood that sin shall not have dominion over you. Oh, I know you're going to fall. I know sometimes it snares you. I know sometimes you even feel enslaved, but He's not your master. And don't you get despondent. Don't you get discouraged. Jesus is your master when you trusted Him as your Savior. Heavenly Father, I pray You'll bless in this invitation. I pray that You'll speak to hearts as only You can. And Lord, I hope that people online who have never trusted Christ as their Savior, that they too will invite Christ into their life. But Lord, help all of us to serve You because we've been set free to serve. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we all stand to our feet? The piano's going to be playing. And if there's a decision you need to make, maybe professing your faith, that's letting other people know that you became a believer. Maybe it's rededicating your life as a believer. Maybe it's placing your membership here at Grandview Baptist Church. Whatever it is God wants you to do, will you come while the piano plays? Let's have heads bowed and eyes closed. And if God's speaking to your heart, maybe you feel like you need to just have a word of prayer around an old-fashioned altar. Whatever it is that God wants you to do, maybe right where you stand, will you talk to the Lord and ask God to do something in your heart? Ask God to do something in your life. Let the Lord do something special in your heart. God bless you. You may be seated. We are going to watch the next video and then our service tonight at 5 p.m. Ben Potter will be preaching to us, and we're excited about a young man going to a very needy area of our country. We praise the Lord for that. So let's watch the next video.
Make plans to join us tonight at 5 p.m. as we will be observing the Lord's Supper.
Don't forget we spring forward 1 hour on Daylight Savings Time next Sunday, March 14th.
We are dropping in our missions giving. We've had several good families move out of Oregon here in the last year, and we've not had a missions conference to replace the missions giving that comes from all of our people. We have many wonderful missionaries, but we got to have your help on a weekly basis giving to missions to take care of all the missionaries we are presently supporting. We're holding the ropes for them, and we don't want to let them down. So that's what I wanted to share. Thank you so much for listening. I know that you will be a part of helping.
Exciting plans are starting for the Easter dramatic musical, The Choice, on Saturday, April 3rd at 6 p.m. and Sunday, April 4th at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Easter is a wonderful time to invite your friends, family, and coworkers for our services. So mark your calendar and celebrate the resurrection of the Savior.
There will be ushers at the back doors if you would like to give your offering as you exit. If this is your first time here, you might have questions, and we'd be happy to answer those questions. As you exit the auditorium, look for guest services. We would love to meet you and give you a gift card. Have a great afternoon, and we'll see you tonight at 5.
God bless you, and you're dismissed. Thank you for coming.